Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here, really looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you guys again this week. While I was down in Melbourne studying, I met an amazing man who became a mate of mine by the name of Johannes Efundi. Now, Johannes originally hails from Thailand and is an evangelist who heads over to Thailand when he's able to on local evangelistic crusades. A very low-key type thing that he does, and he pays for it all himself from what I can gather. When chatting with Johannes, he told me a little bit about his story. One part of his story that intrigued me was specifically the reasoning why he stepped away from martial arts. Now, I can't remember exactly the type of martial arts that Johannes practiced, but I'm sure that it was either Taijutsu or Boy Thai, which most of us would know as Thai kickboxing, so Muay Thai. He was so far up the chain that he had started to examine much more closely the spiritual aspects of this art form. And this was what interested me. He told me of the supernatural powers that were available to some who practice some of the martial arts, the type of powers which could mean knocking somebody over or holding them down through a kind of spiritual force or centered energy which could be controlled and directed or channeled against another. The power was real, he said, and he had seen it used by masters. But as he delved deeper into this, he came to the abrupt realization of the spiritual implications that this would have in his newfound faith as a Christian. And so he stepped away from martial arts completely because of what he found. Now, with this in mind, fast forward a few years and you will find Johannes in the midst of his evangelistic ministry. While speaking and praying with people, he found himself challenged by a huge, strong man who seemed to be completely possessed. This big man started to run at Johannes, screaming at him that he was going to kill him. Now, Johannes saw what was happening, and while those around him were quickly backing away, exiting left, you might say, Johannes instinctively went into the defensive martial arts stance that he had trained for so much of his life. And he did this because he actually feared for his life. In an instant, Johannes realized what he had done and made a split-second decision that while he would stand his ground, he would not revert to using the martial arts that he had been so well trained in. This huge man, he came barreling up onto Johannes at a rapid pace. But just as this man was nearly upon Johannes, instead of calling upon his well-instilled martial arts training to defend himself, he, in full faith and expectation, called upon the Lord for protection and shouted, "In Jesus' name, stop." And this big man the size of a locomotive, this big, screaming, possessed, red-faced man who was nearly on top of Johannes, collapsed. He dropped on the spot. Johannes described it as though every bone in this monster of a man's body had been taken out, and he just fell to the floor at Johannes's feet like a big bowl of jelly. Everyone around Johannes was apparently shocked at what had just transpired. But our mate Johannes, unperturbed, he just knelt down and started praying for this big monster of a man. Friends, fear came to the door. Faith answered. No one was there. Undaunted, not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak, and each of us, Lord, myself included, the ears to hear. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name, that your Holy Spirit would touch each of us, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So I want to welcome everyone to the second part of our new Bible series in 2 Timothy, which I've entitled Undaunted. So last week we had a brief introduction to the book that we're looking at. The first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1 is also what we looked at. If you remember, the last thing we dealt with in that verse 6 was where Paul was reminding Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. And we looked at the three elements that made up fire. Can you remember them? Yeah, that's right. Fuel, which is you and I, the church. A heat source, which comes from us reading God's word and prayer. And finally, oxygen, which is the Holy Spirit, described as the breath of God, who guides us, who empowers us, who breathes life into our otherwise spiritually lifeless bodies. The Holy Spirit is the oxygen that is required for our flame to burn and burn brightly. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no reaction. Without any of those things, there would be no reaction. There would be no fire. Without him, there would be no personal growth and no growth for his church. How are you guys doing with that? How are you guys doing with that? Have you been asking God to fan that into flame, your gift into flame? Are you fanning into flame the gift that you have been given by God? How seriously did you guys take last week's sermon? Let me encourage you again, friends. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, if you claim to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let me remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. When you do, when we all do this, then this church will impact this area, this land, this nation, this world, like I said last week, like a bushfire on a catastrophic day. None will contain it. Satan will be powerless before it, and it will affect for good the people around us and the world that we live in for the glory of God. Friends, fan into flame that gift of God. As we see in this verse that we're going to be looking at today, to be undaunted as you share your faith with others as well, building relationships with them, introducing or reintroducing them to Jesus and to his church. Okay, with that said, I'm keen for us to spend some time looking closely at what the Word of God obviously has to say for us today. The passage that we're going to be discussing has a powerful message for absolutely everyone. But if I might say, especially for those who are men. So it's for everyone, but guys, I really want you guys to be listening to this one. I'm wanting for us to look at this passage with an eye for action. So if you have your Bibles, which you should, whether your Bible, your phone app, or whatever it is, please open it up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The key overriding theme that I'm going to be speaking on through this passage today is the fact that God has given us a spirit not of fear. Now, I want us to say up front that I'm not classing all fear as bad. For instance, there are healthy fears that I think that you can kind of like have, so to speak, if that's what you would call them. So God has also given us the ability to have a bit of common sense, you might say. So you would think that it would be wise to have a healthy fear, for instance, in diving into a fast-flowing river if you can't in fact swim. Or stepping into a tiger's cage, or poking a bear, or to pick a fight with an outlaw bikey gang. All things that it would be good to have, you might say, a healthy fear towards doing such things. But even in this, friends, even in the unlikely scenarios that we've just talked about, as people of God, if God has in fact called you to do such things, then we must do them trusting in him without fear. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If we were walking daily with our Lord, and then fear, it has no place in our lives as followers of Jesus. And we know this specifically because we can see this in this passage where God has replaced fear with power and love and self-control. So if that is the case, why do we so often still find ourselves distracted or dictated to by fear? Let me tell you this story. Black Bart was a professional thief whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. amazingly, Bart did it all without firing a single shot. Because a hood hit his face. No victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and was never trailed by a sheriff. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. Black Bart obviously knew the power of fear, and he used it to his advantage. Not only did the hood darken his face, hiding it from view and the protection of his identity, the darkness of the hooded figure also gave him an air of the unknown. He was a mysterious figure, menacing in his mannerisms, his presence alone, shrouded in the dark, fearful innuendo, meant that fear would take hold of any of his victims, paralyzing them from taking any action at all. And it's interesting that this is the card that Satan himself will often play. This is the game that Satan excels at, using a person's fear of the unknown to paralyze him either into inaction or to run away. It would have to be one of the enemy's favorite weapons against humanity. How often have we been called by the prompting of God to undertake a task only to shy away from doing what we know we should do because of fear? How often has Satan robbed you and your family of the many blessings that God had in store for you because Satan had planted doubt and fear into your mind? Listen to what God has to say, or what he had to say to Joshua when he was about to lead the many people of Israel into the promised land against the mighty people of that land, the numerous mighty people of that land, against unsurmountable odds, you might say. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Friends, be courageous, because we have been told by Jesus, the very Son of God, that he will never leave us. When he says in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. Men and women of God, your families deserve better. Men, your wife deserves the best, so be the real deal in your marriage. Expel fear and replace it with power, love, and self-control. Women, your husbands deserve your best, your love, your support, your respect. Again, let me encourage you to expel fear and replace it with power, love, and self-control. If you're single, be fearless and a great example of a man or woman displaying the passion, courage, and love of a person in Christ. If you have kids, then let me say that your kids deserve better. They deserve to have the father or mother that God has planned for you to be. The example of honor, chivalry, bravery, a loving and godly man that every son should see and want to be like. And every daughter should want to marry a man who displays your attributes and your example as a father. Women, be examples of purity, love, and kindness. Be the type of woman that your daughter would do well to emulate. Be the type of woman that your son should look for in a wife. Friends, you deserve better. You have been called to a better life. Christ died for you, not so that you would be entangled in fear and sin, but so that you could have life, and life to the fullest. Does fear hold you back from being the man, woman, or child that God has called you to be? What form does that fear take? Fear of ridicule? Fear of the opinion of others? Fear of rejection, maybe? Fear of confrontation? Fear of offending someone else, fear of trusting others, fear of failure, and strangely, some fear of success. And for some, maybe it's fear of abuse. fear of violence done against them. And for many around the world, it's the fear for their very lives. But in all these examples of fear, the one thing they all have in common is a fear of trusting in their God. And yet Psalm 56:3, we're told there, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're called to be undaunted in our faith, not to be intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. But how do we know this? We know this because God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And this is the big issue for many of us, as we're willing to wear that Christian badge, you might say. We're happy to call Jesus our Savior, but we only kind of like give lip service to the part where we call him Lord. Jesus can die on a cross for our sins, and that's cool. We're fine with his sacrifice for us. But when it comes to the crunch, we often refuse daily to trust our very lives in his hands. Is this you? This, I believe, is mostly due to the fear we have regarding how Jesus as our Lord and Savior might encroach on the lives we want to live, as opposed to the life that Jesus might be calling for us to live. Friends, Satan plays at your fears, that you don't want to be sidelined as a religious nut by family, friends, or work colleagues. Satan will whisper to you in a very clever way things that might seem to make sense on the surface, but are in fact, even if forever so slightly, contrary to the will of God. And you will know where it truly comes from, because despite the apparent logic that it is sold to you as being, when you dig down, you will find the true root cause as being based in fear. And this type of fear, it doesn't come from God. God works in the realm of wisdom, power, love, and self-control. Satan works in the realm of fear, exploited weaknesses, false bravado, lies, hates, unbridled passion, and waywardness. So how do you know that something is from Satan and not from God? Well, our first avenue of knowing such things is obvious for us to know God's word. God's word, so important. If you read your Bible, then you will be better equipped to stand firm as a follower of Jesus. On one hand, I can bet if I ask each person here, if you thought reading the Bible, if you thought reading the Bible, God's word regularly, was an important thing to do, the vast majority of those listening to this would acknowledge that that's one of the big ones. Yes, we should be doing that. This is one of the things that we as believers believe that we should be doing. Not only because it would be good for us, but because it's an act of obedience. We've been asked to read the Bible by God himself. We've been asked to look at Scripture. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And in reading God's word, we have been called to put what he reveals to us through his word into practice. We're to obey it. It's one thing to read a book. It's another thing to actually believe what the Bible says to do and then do it and then do what it says. Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, one of my favorite guys, once said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith, and it's not good for much. Men and women of the faith. Let me encourage you to read the Bible so that the Holy Spirit can undertake a transformation of your life, making you more and more like Jesus as the Bible reveals Christ to you and promotes Christ's likeness in you. I'm not asking for you just to read the Bible for knowledge's sake. I'm asking for you to read it for relationship's sake. 2 Corinthians 3:3 is something that you really check it out. Have a look at it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So read the Bible, friends, because it is one of the key ways to draw closer to God and to know and better understand God's will in your life. This amazing book was written for you for a reason. Understand that, read it, and uncover the amazing pearls of wisdom and truths that have affected your life already and will continue to affect your life, your priorities, even your very character. Fear less, read more. And this leads well into the second area that an effective man or woman or child of God would be doing, and that is prayer. If you think that you don't need to pray on this journey we call life as Christians, then I would be so bold to say that if you think this, if you follow this philosophy that you don't need to pray, then in all probability, you will be a very, very weak Christian at best. Weak, weak, weak Christian at best. At worst, I would suggest you examine yourself closely, using the scriptures as your guide to see if, in fact, you even are a Christian at all. If you refuse to pray to God, you better check a few things out. Now, you might think that that sounds a bit harsh, but how could it even be possible, friends, for us to claim to be a follower of God if we can't even be bothered to speak with him? How can we claim to be in that relationship if we don't even bother showing up? I can tell you now that a marriage where there is no communication is a very unhappy marriage, and it will not last. I believe the same goes with prayer. Yes, we may still claim to be Christians. We may look the part, but I am absolutely certain that if prayer is not a regular part of what you do with God, then it could not be possible at all for your relationship with him to prosper. You would be a powerless believer because you haven't plugged into the power source. Think back on the passage that we're looking at. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." How would it be possible? How would it even be possible for someone to have power without being plugged into the electricity? You must pray. We all must pray. Reading your Bible and active prayer, they have the ability to build you up in your faith in God. In doing this, the more you delve into God's word, as well as bend the knee in prayer, the more powerful and wise a person you will become. So where do you stand? Are you somebody who will live their life as you have been called, undaunted, not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment? Will you live in the reality of the power that you have been promised by God himself? Let me encourage you to embrace the spirit that has been placed within you, the Holy Spirit. Throw off those shackles of fear, just like Johannes did in the very opening story, where he stood in faith, knowing that God was going to act on his behalf. Throw off those shackles of fear and uncertainty. Encourage one another, guys and girls, to be courageous in your actions and attitudes for Christ. Stand firm and unified as real men and women of God. Friends, borrowed beliefs have no power, so own what you believe. Live your life as one who fully believes that God has indeed given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and everything that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a spirit not of fear, Lord. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would touch each of our lives, Lord, that you would challenge us where we're at in the different fears that we have. If it's that we're fearful to own your name, Lord, then I just ask that you would help remove that fear. If we're fearful to share you with others, Lord, I ask that you would remove that fear, that your Holy Spirit would give us the gumption, Lord, to be able to be courageous in what you call us to do. Whatever it is that you're calling for us to do, Lord, I ask that you would help us in this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that we would be a people who do not fear, that we would stand, Lord, firm in you and in what Christ has done for us. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.